another sad day night that I ain't got nobody. I got some money cause I just got paid. Now how I wish I had someone to talk to. I'm in an awful
wake up, Denver.
Day.
It's Sunday morning. You had another Saturday night with no one to talk to. You got us now.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Hal Goble saying, you know, he'd like to go to church on his way home.
After Saturday night. Hey, Goble's probably listening. Be careful.
All right.
This is Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts and Sam Cooke. That's a great song.
This is a great song.
Believe me, you got more people in your life than you know about, including us. Welcome to You Get the Blessing, and we're going to introduce you again this week to a great guest to bless you. But first, I'll just say, Bob, I like Sunday mornings because Saturday nights, even back in college, I would wind it down early knowing I don't want to be a complete hypocrite, just partial jerk.
You know, I was thinking, the last couple of Sunday mornings, you know, sometimes you get up, and I think everybody listening probably has this experience. Sometimes you get up, and maybe if you're a person that kind of normally part of your, you know, program is you maybe go to church on Sunday mornings, but you wake up some Sunday mornings and you just feel like, I do not feel like going today. And, of course, that's a little bit problematic for me since I'm the minister when I feel like that. But
and you're 60 years old.
But I was just thinking, you know, for us at least, you know, I love the fact that, you know, we've got great worship and you get there and you start, you know, singing great songs and you can just feel your spirit kind of lift. And I think for a lot of us, you know, we need that just a kind of a boost on a Sunday morning. And that's why it's important to kind of have a place like that when even when you're feeling down, feeling like not going sometimes is the most important time to go.
So if you're feeling that today, get in your car, listen to us first, then go on over to Highline Community Church, 10 o'clock service. You'll meet Ernie and Ella when you walk in the door, and I guarantee you they'll greet you with a hug and a smile.
If you're lucky, you might even meet our guest today since he periodically shows up, I've noticed.
He's going with us this morning. But our guest is Doug Johnson of the Charitable Fund. And Doug, I've been knowing you for, gee whiz, 20-plus years now, and you look great, and we're glad to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Did you think this was television?
You are perfectly dressed for a radio show today. It's unbelievable.
Honestly, his hair makes me a little tick.
Yeah, it's, you know.
It's like Clint Eastwood.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. By this time in life, you shouldn't have that much, really.
No.
Trump is my hero, you know.
Shoot. Believe me. I played golf with Donald Trump, and I sort of like the guy, actually, and he's a pretty good golfer, but I couldn't figure out what was going on with his hair all day. It was like swooped over worse than mine, hairsprayed down worse than mine, and the wind came up a couple times, seriously, lifted him off the ground about 6 inches. I know you're not listening, Donald. That's I wish you were. Doug Johnson, welcome to our program, and let's start with a little bit of your background. Where were you raised, and what were you doing around your house as a kid?
You know, you guys talking about church, I'm a preacher's kid, Baptist preacher's kid, fundamentalist Baptist preacher's kid.
We are so sorry. No, just kidding.
And you want to talk about church, I often go back and count the number of times I was in church as a kid. 5 to 6 times a week.
Oh, my
from
gosh.
3 times on Sunday to midweek to release time. You guys remember release time?
I don't.
No. Is it actually called
release time? The school would shut down and let kids go to their church on Thursday afternoons for the last hour of the day for religious instruction.
Oh.
This is back in the 50s and 60s. Right?
And then what there was country was that in, by the way? I'm just curious.
Really?
Yeah, maybe we reinstitute that. There's a thought. And then Saturday Night Youth Group. So I was in church a lot.
Yeah, by the way, you've fulfilled your quota. You don't have to go anymore.
Well, I didn't go to church from my 20th birthday to my 40th birthday.
Yeah, you were good to go.
I was gone.
I'll just know if I don't see you on a Sunday morning, I'll think, well, you know, he made up for it back then. So
yeah, so that was my early life, and an early life that unfortunately I knew more about law than grace.
Explain that to somebody that's listening and has no clue.
Well, the law was basically outlining what you must do. Grace was about what you were being offered without doing anything. And I didn't get that second part until way into my 40s.
You're saved by grace through faith. So it's unmerited favors, what you're talking about, that we get. It's not, folks, if we got what we deserved, it wouldn't be a good sight for us.
It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift.
Free gift. And
you don't have to earn it.
You accepted it after years of being confused by it because you were
running
jammed into
it.
Church.
So, running from it. And how I ran to it after college was into law.
Oh, gotcha.
Which is kind of ironic.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you end up being a lawyer running away from the law of my youth, i.e. the law of the Old Testament, the law of, you know, of what I was learning, right? And law provided me with a marvelous way of continuing to escape God, run from God. That's the history of my first 40 years, is running from, crazily, the gift that was being offered.
And you were good at it, too. I mean, I remember us talking one time. You've got a kind of a cool story. You were kind of on the back there on the East Coast and had a lot going on in those days, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. It was law provided me with a lot. It provided me with prestige and monetary rewards. It provided me with a reputation in the community and a family that was esteemed. Unfortunately, by 10 years into that process, it was obviously hollow as a basket net, you know, couldn't hold anything. And what I ended up with was a recognition that my life was really wasted with the pursuit of things that couldn't last.
I actually love lawyers, especially Billy Bostrom, who listens to our program. But
I know Billy.
And you're saying that at some point being caught in that was just a trap that was taking you away from the things that really matter.
And it was an easy trap because it was fun, exciting. You got recognition. You bought what you wanted. You lived a life you thought was cool. Yeah. You provided for your kids and wife. And I mean, why not? Isn't that the life we're supposed to live?
So you were better when you went back to some of what had been taught to you as a kid that maybe you didn't accept.
Well, I found it on my own, right. But I had to crash to do that. I had to recognize that whatever I was building up for myself was a foundation that was pretty weak.
It's pretty cool that God's still waiting there loving us the same after we crash, because, boy, I crashed big time myself. But I know you haven't crashed for years. You've been up and running now.
I've been running. Came out here in 92, part of that recovery from the crash, realizing law wasn't going to give me the significance and sense of depth that I wanted. Came out here in 92 and spent 4 years in seminary, practiced a little law here with some good guys, but seminary was my bridge to wherever I was headed, and I didn't quite know what that was, but in God's own timing and providence, I ended up in a prison ministry, which I understood.
So did
prisons.
I.
There you go. There you go. Right?
We'll tell that story some other time.
I understand prisons. I understand because I had built my own prison.
That was cool, though. You were part of Friends, huh?
Part of Friends, yep. And ultimately built a youth-serving thing, Friends for Youth. That's 5 years into it, which serves tons of kids, tons of kids. But the Friends model was working with people in prison and kids headed towards prison and bringing healthy people or at least good people, trying to live out what it meant to be a friend in Christ.
So what does it mean, Bob, in the Bible that says, he who has begun a good work in you? So you get this little seed of catching the idea, and then you meander off this way to the right, this way to the left, and somehow God brings you back at some point in your life. What specifically should people be thinking about that are listening and they feel like they're off in the wilderness right now?
Yeah, I think that we're going to be real surprised, you know, someday when we're all together with Christ and kind of look back and see everything that was going on in our life. Because I think a lot of kids, a lot of people come to some sort of the best as they can understand who Jesus is. And, you know, maybe it's at a vacation Bible school or a camp or something, make some kind of a commitment. And for whatever reason, whether it's kind of consciously straying away from, you know, that spiritual part of your life, or maybe it's just not, you know, getting plugged in somewhere where they can, you know, have an ongoing process of growth, but for whatever reason, kind of get off the track. And then oftentimes years later, you know, come back around to, you know, to a commitment or a relationship with Christ. And, you know, my sense is God's been just working all along in a deal like that. And that, you know, once we open our life to Christ at whatever age we are, that you know, even when we're unfaithful, He's faithful. And really, as Doug was saying earlier, you know, there's this tremendous reality of God's grace that He's not dealing with us on the basis of our performance anyway, and loving us through the good and the bad. And, you know, Christ, you know, I love the saying that, you know, you can't, God never gets disillusioned with us because He never had any illusions about us to begin with.
And He wasn't confused at all.
So I think, you know, I really think that, you know, that scripture about, you know, once He's begun a good work in us, and, you know, that oftentimes that those seeds that were planted, so, you know, at times in our life where maybe we were hardly aware of it, that, you know, that God honors that. So I think it's important.
And you not only had God hanging on to you all those years, but you had your wife, the beautiful Vicky.
Absolutely.
So how many years you guys been married now?
40 as of last month.
Huh?
40.
I got 40 coming up next month.
Well, take your wife to the Broad. Had a great weekend at the Broad.
Thinking about taking her to the West Coast, possibly a Dodgers game, maybe the Giants.
Yeah.
That's where we went on our honeymoon. So why not go back and revisit it? She really had a good memory of that.
That's a good spot.
Yeah. So 40 years. Congratulations.
And so Vicky was really with you through this whole journey.
She was.
Too,
it was what ultimately has made us into a deeper connected couple. But you had to go through a real wilderness time.
Am I right about saying her sense of humor probably had to help too, because she has a great laugh?
She has a great laugh and a great smile. Yeah, it radiates a room. Yeah, yeah.
That was good seeing you guys at the Nuggets game. That's a cool program, isn't
it's a fun program.
They were down there with Nicholas Owens and
Nick's Picks.
What
a couple
guy.
Of families.
What a guy.
He's a great guy. So tell us about the Charitable Fund. What is it, and what do you all do?
I ended up at the Charitable Fund 5 years ago. It's a startup public charity. Formed like a community foundation. You play Monopoly, you see the community chess kind of things, where people in the community build assets, put them into this public charity, and then use those assets for giving. We essentially provide individuals, families, and businesses with an opportunity to become more effective givers by simply setting up accounts for giving. I call it savings accounts for giving.
Kind of give an illustration of that. You have maybe some specific, you know, somebody that's done that and how that kind of works. Because it's a cool deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, you know, there's a lot of advantages to doing your giving through that kind of a...
It's like setting aside money for anything, a house, a retirement, improvements, whatnot. Here you're setting aside money for giving opportunities that might come out of nowhere. A couple we work with had been to a Mercy Ships presentation, have three young children. They'd been very fortunate to sell their business and ended up trying to homeschool their kids. And one of the elements of this Mercy Ships was that you could go on a two-week session on the ship. They had their money already in this account set aside. They didn't have to worry about where it was coming from. But they got their kids involved. Three kids, 7, 9, 11. And the kids, after hearing about it, said, can we go for longer than 2 weeks? They ended up spending 2 months off the coast of Africa with these kids serving on a mercy ship together. They could do that in part because they had the funds set aside. They didn't have to worry about where it was coming from. They knew these monies were set for opportunities like that. It gave an opportunity for them to serve, an opportunity for them to teach their children, for their children to learn from people in this coastal town that had horrific, horrific circumstances in their lives. And they got to serve next to people on the ship. It was a wonderful experience that families have to draw each other together. It's a pretty exotic family trip, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah. Our guest is Doug Johnson here on You Get the Blessing today. We're talking about the Charitable Fund, which he runs, and giving in general is a cool subject, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. You've done a great job, too, of along with simply being a part of the Charitable Fund. I think part of what I love about it is, you know, there's almost in the world this sense of a lot of giving is done sort of out of compulsion or guilt or, you know, reluctantly. And what I love is sort of the emphasis you've had on the whole spirit of generosity, because I think that's a whole different way of coming at this deal. I'm excited to have you come and talk about that at Highline, because, you know, that's a different approach to this whole issue of how do we use our resources. And you know, and Scripture says that God loves a literally hilarious giver. It's the words usually translated cheerful, but in the original language there, the word is hilaros, and we get our word hilarity from it. And so that's a different way of looking at giving than most people have.
Yeah, and in fact, a study has come out in a book called Gross National Happiness, fabulous book, Arthur Brooks, the author, and the studies that he's done show that the people that reflect the happiest attitudes and the happiest life and the happiest attitudes towards life are people who give the most. Giving has a direct relationship to our happiness. And so in Scripture, when it says God loves a cheerful giver, there's a connection there for us. You give more, you have a more satisfied life and a life that's beyond yourself and beyond your own needs. And that produces happiness.
Amen.
It's amazing.
And we're here because we try to present a perspective of Christ, the truth in the Scripture. And the Scripture is just chock full of instruction on giving, examples on giving, encouragement to give, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know, I've never sat down and really worked this out, but I've always been told that, first of all, the number one issue that Jesus taught about more than anything else was the kingdom. And he talked about the kingdom all the time, the kingdom of God, and what that means. But that the number two subject that Jesus spoke about the most was this issue of money, because it has such a tremendous sort of grip on our lives, and it's so hooked into all kind of things emotionally and our sense of value. And then we live in a culture that just bombards us with that message. And, you know, in a sense, it's not something new. I mean, the same thing was true in Christ's day, and there was a lot of emphasis on, you know, what do you have, how much do you have, and Jesus was constantly talking about this, that where your where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be, and to treasure up things in heaven, not on earth. And again, you know, the whole spirit of generosity. And there's something in us, Doug, I don't know what it is, I honestly think when we hear it, and even intellectually when we believe it, what is it internally that, you know, we just don't live like that?
Yeah, I think we have this sense of importance about what we have, and a fear about losing it, losing fear. Control, losing flexibility, losing the right to do what I want as opposed to what somebody else wants.
Most freedom and the most joy comes in having a loose grip on what we have.
Yeah.
So I'm going to set you up here, Bob, as the world's greatest Bible teacher, by saying the Scripture's really clear when it says money is the root of all evil.
No. And again, that's a very big misconception people have, that that's what it teaches, because what it teaches is that the love of money is the root of all evil. And again, this was kind of the message that Christ was saying that. And I love the little comparison that we live in a world that teaches us to love things and use people. And Jesus came along and said, nope, you got it all backwards, that the secret to life is love people and use things. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with resources. The problem is when they begin to own us instead of us owning them and using them. And so, again, I think that that's why something like what Doug's doing with the Charitable Foundation, you know, encouraging people to, use what God's provided you and, you know, enjoy. You know, I think that if we're faithful in giving what God's called us to give, you know, then I think it helps us enjoy what we have more. So rather than just kind of hoarding and thinking that somehow the more we have, the happier we're going to be. But
That's the concept of what we call gracious generosity. Mm-hmm. Generosity, we understand about giving unselfishly out. Gracious generosity is about appreciating all we've received and then pouring that which we've received. Health, family, goods, talents, gifts, money. It's all out there to give. And the bottom line is, in pouring that grace that we've received back into the people that are around us, we're happier.
And that mindset of appreciation, I heard James Ryle, a pastor and author, say 20 years ago, something I've never forgotten, but he said, I'll try to remember it. Break for the needy, sweet charity's bread, for living is giving, the angel said. What, giving again, I ask in dismay? Must I keep on giving and giving away? Oh, no, said the angel, piercing me through. Just give till the Father stops giving to you. Amen. So when we have that perspective you're talking about, of how much we've been given, it's really not a matter of wealth or poverty. It's a matter of spirit, mm-hmm. perspective, gratitude, and let this stuff flow through us yeah. and out to others that need us more. So if you're out there today in a tough financial situation, just go down into this city. You don't have to get on a plane and look around for a while, and you'll see thousands of people, I guarantee you, worse off than you are. And if you're in a good position today and are doing really well, great. That's what we like. Go for it. Make more and give more away, and do it joyfully, aggressively, right-handed. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. Hilariously giving is what Bob quoted earlier.
Yeah, John Wesley had a great little saying. He used to say, make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. And that's a great formula right there.
And somebody came up with the world's plan of economy, similar to that, a spinoff of that, which is backwards, is make all you can all you get, sit on the lid, and poison the rest. If you have that spirit today, we're kind of encouraging you. Hear what Doug's saying. Yeah. Here's a guy giving his whole life to the cheerful aspect of giving and what that does for us. So what's up next for the Charitable Fund? Just growth and expansion and more folk?
Keep more folk, building this community of gracious generosity that can flood into the city resources that they have never had before, and then outward into the world. We make gifts all the way around the world. Last year, we gave away $2 million. The year before that, $3 million in the two worst years of the economy.
Could I jot down my home number for you guys?
Yes, yes. And we'll be asking you for a donation.
Oh, excuse me.
So oh, that's not what you thought.
Oh, sorry. How do people get in touch with you and learn more about the Charitable Fund?
Two ways. One, by phone. My direct line, 720-489-0607. I'll get you right to my desk. Or Doug, D-O-U-G, at thecharitablefund.org.
So, Bob, tell us about the widow's mite quickly and the difference between capitalism and materialism.
Quickly, 25 words or less. Huh?
Well, you can do it.
So Jesus is at the temple, and he's kind of sitting there watching people, you know, toss their stuff into the offering, you know, box at the temple. And, you know, people are coming along and, you know, and he lived in an age when people probably had a wrong attitude, almost at times prideful about what they gave. And, you know, a widow came along and put a mite in, which is like a, you know, a minute percentage of a penny or something. I mean, it was the smallest coin in their culture. And Jesus kind of drew his disciples' attention to her and said, she's given more than all the rest, because they've kind of given out of their excess, and she's given, you know, out of, you know, really out of, in her poverty, she's given. And, you know, you can be stingy and rich, and you can be stingy and poor. You know, it's not always a matter of how much you have or don't have. Again, spirit of the heart. And again, Christ talked about it all the time. If the eye is bad, he said, you know, or, you know, the eye is dark, the whole body's full of darkness. And if the eye is good, you know, the whole body's full of light. And that was in their day, that was an expression that had to do with stinginess or generosity. That a good eye was meant to be generous, and that it filled your life with light. And a bad eye was someone that was stingy, and it filled your life with darkness. Couldn't be much clearer than that.
That's good stuff. That's really good stuff. I like sacrificial giving, and I get the blessing. That's what this show's about. I get the blessing when I'm the one that's given. So, Doug, I appreciate the fact that you are a leader and you are trained in the law and you are trained as a businessman, and God's taken all those talents and your coupleness with your wife Vicky, and has set you in this place where people can find out how to give if they don't know how. So absolutely. I'm praying somebody listening will call you. Give us your info again.
720-489-0607 or Doug at thecharitablefund.org.
So you may not know how to get started, and Doug may give you a hand and say, this is the way to do it. And believe me, we're not ever asking for money on this show for ourselves.
We got no agenda.
No, no agenda. We're just
saying. We should come up with an agenda. We need one.
I can do it.
Yeah.
But we're just saying, folks, you want to live part of a fully joyful life, become a giver and become an aggressive,
hilarious,
sacrificial giver. So thank you, Doug, for being with us.
Pleasure. Thank
Doug,
you.
Doug, great having you.
Again, Bob, thanks for always being a consistent, thorough expert on the scripture. And
we try harder.
10 o'clock this morning, Highline Community Church, just off the corner of University and Arapahoe to the north there a little bit. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you again next week right here on You Get the Blessing. If I could meet them, I could get them. But as yet I haven't met them. That's why I'm in the shape I'm in. Here another Saturday.